So, Trevor, this is for you if you're listening. Many things in my pocket here. Okay, so second review is Sunday at 7:30. And you're going to be here. Okay. So, exam is Monday at 10. I think so, right? Monday at 10? Yeah, I know it's Monday, and I'm pretty sure it's 10. I should put here, what, you want two cards for the test? Two, what was it, 3x5 cards you used last time? So, 2, 3, 5 cards, note cards. Okay, so today is the review. So first of all, this old exam I gave you here, you will probably notice there are some things on here that we may have gone over somewhat more in the class that I did this exam in, okay? But there are definitely things on that exam that were in that class they had never seen before, okay? So my goals for you are very high. I want you to be able to extend the ideas that you got in this class to do new problems that you have never seen before, okay? That is what it takes to be an engineer, okay? So that's what my goal is, and so you can see that on the exam. So I want you to study hard for this exam because you need to know the stuff that you do know pretty much backwards and forwards so that you can do more than that on the exam, okay? Now, hopefully it won't be, terribly hard for you. I think actually you guys have done quite well this time. This quarter has been pretty good, the vast majority of you are doing quite well. There are, a couple of people that are I'm a bit worried about, but most of you guys are headed for A's, okay? So I think that you will do all right, but, don't be, it's not going to, like, be, an easy thing, probably. It's not going to be just, I know how to do this, I know how to do that. You're probably going to have to think a little bit on the exam, okay? So... let's probably go and do this exam, and if you don't have, Daniel has a question, so let's do that first.
Looking at this, there's no way that this could be done in an hour.
No, this is a two-hour exam. This is a final exam. Hours. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they did it in 2 hours.
Did they as well?
Yeah. Well, no, actually, usually. Yeah. So make sure you get your sleep on Sunday night, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's important. And the other thing is it's important when you're studying to get your sleep the night you studied, because if you don't get your sleep after you study, you don't recall it. For a day or two maybe, but what really matters in engineering, if you haven't figured this out so far, everything builds on everything else. And sooner or later, if you keep working on things, you'll say, well, shoot, I've seen something like that before. That's kind of like what we did in, And the more you have long-term memory, if you can keep that, the better off you are, So don't shortchange yourself on your sleep. because you need it, and you need it for what you're really trying to accomplish. Okay, so let's look at this old exam then, and we'll see what we can do here. So, here's a problem, and you know, this first problem, these guys had never seen this before either, okay? So it says, in this problem, you're to figure out how to make a small signal, low power, N-channel enhancement mode MOSFET transistor and a power NPN transistor into a circuit that could be used as a power MOSFET transistor with a VTO equal VTO plus 0.6, where VTO is the, I guess it is turn on. It looks like TUM, but I think it's a turn on voltage of the small signal FET. The hybrid transistor will dissipate as much power as the NPN transistor would. And actually, there's some other advantages to this thing as well, okay? You see, when you're working with really high power, that means you're going to have really high current, okay? And think about this. A FET has I squared times RDS on. That's the power dissipated in the FET, right? The power dissipated in a saturated bipolar junction transistor is VCE sat, or 0.2 volts roughly, right, times IC, right? So that one goes up as I, and the power MOSFET power goes up as I squared, right? So these things, this is actually known as an IGBT, okay? And they use them in power circuitry all the time, okay? It's a very nice circuit. It's kind of like, well, I mean, how would you do this? What does this remind you of? Does this remind you of something we did? Putting two transistors together to get a super transistor, what did we do? Darlington, exactly, right? So let's try, an enhancement mode MOSFET is very similar to an NPN transistor, right? I mean, it has the same kind of characteristics. In other words, the drain is like the collector, the gate is like the base, and the source is like the emitter. You know, the drain has to be highest, the gate has to be next, and the source has to be lowest, right? That's the same way with an NPN transistor, right? So you ought to be able to just swap it in. Seems like it, right? So let's just do it. So here's your MOSFET. And this can be, you know, it doesn't have to be really powerful because it's not the thing dissipating the big power. Right? Here's the power MOSFET. Now let's put the power BJT over here. This is the big BJT, the power one. This is the thing that can dissipate a lot of power. And probably, how did we do this thing? Probably we would put... Well, let's think about it. How do we want to do it? Do we want to put this thing in there? Right? It says it is, say, N-channel, right? So I got an N-channel and an NPN, right? So probably I want to put this in here, right? Right? And then this probably needs to go up here. So now we have three terminals. One here, one there, right? So how is this going to operate here? Well, when we have VTO here, right, when we get more than VTO, we put VGS, VG, this is the new S right here, put from here to here, more than V turn on, right? In fact, it's got to be V turn on plus 0.7 because there's 0.7 volts here, right? So V turn on plus 0.7 volts would give us, it would start to conduct current into the base, right? And when it conducts current into the base, then we get beta times as much going down the collector, right? And so this thing has some advantages over a standard, you know, NPN transistor because, you see, power NPN transistors don't usually have a very large beta. They may only have a beta of 20 or something, you know, not a large thing. And so what's required for a base current can be quite significant, right? Well, this thing requires almost nothing because it's a MOSFET, right? And it, you know, it can give you the advantages of a power NPN transistor without hardly any drive requirements. You could drive this from your little CPU probably, you know, or maybe. I don't know, I mean probably. Right? Does that make sense? Okay, so what's the next thing? So we figured that one out, right? Okay, what is the transistor's, hybrid transistor's KH in terms of the K of the MOSFET? So this is part A, this is 1A. And then we'll do B down here. And remember, there's in the beyond pinch-off region, ID for a n-channel MOSFET is K times VGS minus VTO squared. This is for n-channel MOSFET. And that's something, you know, you just remember or you have on your little card, I suppose, if that's what you want to do, okay? So you got this thing right here. And now we're going to try and find the overall characteristic of this whole thing, right? So ID, in our case, ID is equal to IB, right? Here's IB. Because ID goes right on through, right? That's IB. And this current right here is ID plus beta IB, right? Do you agree? Does that make sense? See, I've got ID goes this way, right? Here's ID. And here is beta IB, right? Okay. So then I can say the new ID, I'll call this ID prime. Okay, that's the ID for the whole thing, right? So ID prime is equal to, well, it's going to be K times VGS minus VTO squared. That's the ID, which is IB, right? And then times, I guess, times beta plus 1. Is that right? Because I've got beta of them coming this way and one of them going that way, right? Because, you see, IB is ID, right? So this guy right here, I could put a little line through here and say ID, right? So it's beta plus 1 times ID. And so the new K is this thing right here with that thing right there. And the new VTO, of course, is, you know, if it's between here and here instead of between here and here, right, then this VTO will be the new VTO prime, really, because, you know, we're going between this new gate and that new source, right? This would be the gate. Gate is the same. The gate equals gate prime, but this is the source, and this is the source prime. And now how do we... Actually, I guess VTO is right, but the problem is VGS is now we need to make VGS prime. So that'll be equal to K times beta plus 1 times VGS, which is VGS is right here, right? VGS. And so VGS prime is VGS prime is equal to VGS plus, S plus 0.7 or whatever, right? S plus 0.7. Oh, no, minus VTO. Minus VTO, right? Squared. And so you could put these two guys together, right, to get the new VTO prime, right? So VTO prime is equal to, did I do this right? This should be VG. Oh, I put in the wrong thing here. VGS is VGS prime minus 0.7, like that, right? And so then VTO prime is VTO plus 0.7. Does that make sense? Okay, and so this is the new K right here. This is the K prime, right? Okay, well, let's write this again. See, the ID prime is equal to this. It's going to be, this is going to be the K prime times VGS prime minus VTO prime, right? And this, by comparing these, you can see this guy is just VTO plus 0.7 right there, right? And this K prime is just K times beta plus 1, right?
I forgot the square, I guess. So, why is the plus 7 is because that's the voltage.
Well, this is just like, I took this regular fat equation here, and I made it this new thing, like a new prep, but now I got an S prime and a D prime up here, right? D prime doesn't really come into our equation, so I don't need to worry about that, but I want to make the actual IV for this new IGBT. We need to make him the same as this guy with a K prime and a VTO prime. So I figured out what the ID prime was. Here it is, right? So now in order to make this fit, this new thing, this guy right here is the K prime, and the VTO prime is VTO plus 0.7. And, in part A, it said the VTO was VTO plus 0.7, so we already kind of had that, right? It told us that. And so we can just see that the K prime is K times beta plus 1.
Yeah. So are we going to need another 0.7 for the VTO, because that
I'm going to put these, I'm going to get rid of the parentheses here and put the parentheses now that guy with that guy, and now it becomes VTO plus 0.7, so it's minus quantity VTO plus 0.7. So maybe I should write it one more time here. This is K prime times, now I've got VGS prime minus quantity VTO plus 0.7, like that, squared, right? So this is the VTO prime.
To be honest, I wouldn't have thought
of
doing that.
Oh, well, this is algebra. Well, this is just an extension of the Darlington pair. I think if you guys had all thought about it for a little bit, you would have said, oh, cool, I could do that with some other transistors too, right? You don't just have to limit yourself to NPNs. And it actually makes more sense to put the MOSFET on the left than on the right because of this, power dissipation. So this is actually quite a useful configuration. And just like you can buy Darlington pair transistors, you can buy these IGBTs.
You can buy them just
there. They're called IGBTs. I probably should write that in here. Insulated gate bipolar junction transistors. IGB. Yep, almost no current. IGBT.
So when you say KH here, that's what you mean, like at the mu?
Yeah, right. I guess I called it K prime here, KH there. Yeah, I should read the problem. And the schematic here. That's right. Yeah. This is right here. This is the answer right here. Okay, so one thing you're getting the idea of, see that the thing we did in this class was we started out with diodes, right? And we learned how diodes work, right? And that had a PN junction in it, so we learned about PN junctions, how they work. And then we went to bipolar junction transistors, right? And we learned how they work. Then we went to FETs, and we learned how they work. Now, in your lifetime, there are going to be newfangled stuff like this, right? And you're going to need to, oh, no biggie, I just, extend the ideas that I got here, okay? And so that is my goal, is that there are in this class, there were things that were more important than the specifics that we did. Okay? It's the basic idea beneath that, to me, is more important, because I think in your life, I mean, yeah, it's good to know about bipolar junction transistors and MOSFETs. Yeah, that's very handy and it's good use. But there will probably be some other things that, you know, you can apply the same way of, you know, we've used to analyze these to that, those other things. And it's when you make a step to a new thing, when you become the inventor, that you're really doing what an engineer was, you know, was supposed to do, right? So that's where the fun happens. So, you know, somebody got to invent this right here. And today, you know, we kind of got to invent it too. I mean, right? Because it was new for you. Okay. So let's look at the next one here. Oh, what is the GM of this hybrid transistor? Okay. So what is GM? Do you remember? Wrong. Well, right, but wrong. Okay. Right, but wrong. The fundamental thing is GM is, you know, it's the partial of ID, in this case ID prime, with respect to VGS prime, right? Evaluated at whatever. Now, in this case, you actually, your answer would work because we made it exactly a match, right? But if it hadn't matched exactly, then this definition would have been much better. You know, this is at the Q point. Does that make sense? And so it's the fundamental thing. What I don't like is when you memorize derived results but not the definition, right? Do you understand what I'm talking about? So, and if you think the same way I do on when you're studying for the exam, you will do better on the exam, right? So try and do it my way. I'm sorry, I'm kind of an old fogey, right? But working from first principles is the way I always do it. You know, who was the guy who spoke for the banquet? You know, this guy who started this gigantic company up there, yeah? Schweitzer. He spent like about 4 hours that afternoon goofing off with me and Dr. Logan and four of my previous students. And the thing he kept saying over and over again was, I want guys that work from first principles. So, you know, somebody like that has had a lot of experience doing what you want to do, you know. And if it's important to him, it's got to be, you know, important. Now, I have to admit, he's more from my generation than from yours. But, you know, for him, it's still really, really important. And you know, he's the guy that's hiring, and he probably has some wisdom, you know, because he's been around a long time, you know. So at least humor me a little bit and try and do that, okay? So anyway, you know, you can, just like Austin said, you can use the formula that you got on your notepad because it matches perfectly this time, right? But I prefer to do this. So I just take the derivative, and this would be 2 times K prime times, it'll be capital V sub capital GS minus VTO prime, like that, right?
This is still part B.
This is part C. Part C, right? So here's the answer for part B. The answer right there. And here's the answer for part C right here. And I don't know, it just wanted to know what would the GM. You could also write this in terms of the ID if you wanted to, right? Which is what Austin had, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could also, and the way you do that is you solve for, if you want it in terms of ID, ID. If I take ID, that's this thing evaluated at the Q point. Now, ID equals K prime times capital VGS minus VTO prime squared, right? So I could say VGS minus VTO prime is equal to ID divided by K prime square root, right? And then I would just plug that in there. So GM equals 2K prime square root of ID over K prime, which is 2 square root of ID. That's actually, maybe I should call it ID prime, right? I don't know. Isn't it? It's the prime thing, right? Over K prime. No, times K prime. Times K prime. And that's what you had, right? So, in this case, that works. But the picture I have is this, you know.
Why is that VGS prime? If this was ID prime equals K prime.
I just took this regular equation we had up here and put in at the Q point. So this would be capitalized and capital D. I missed a prime here.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right.
Prime. Oh, wrong thing. Prime down here, right? VGS prime. And this should be a prime here. And this should be a prime there. Yeah, right. But it's basically, it's here's the picture, and this is what really is worth the things. This point around here is VTO prime, right? And here is VGS prime. And the slope here, that's GM, right? Does that make sense? That's the idea, this fundamental idea, the Taylor series first two-term approximation thing is the fundamental thing that really pays off, okay? Now, you know, I could have had you design a whole bunch of stuff with that vet now, right? That everything after this would be just the same as a regular vet, right? In fact, everything after this would be the same as a regular vet, right?
How did you not put it in terms of ID prime?
Oh. I don't know. I'm trying to do it in terms of the terminals that I now have access to. I've got this terminal, that one, right? So I was trying to do it in terms of, you know, the voltages across there. VGS prime is from here to here, right? And ID prime is this, you know, whatever goes in that drain. Okay. Drain prime. So is this okay? Is this hard? Hopefully this wasn't too bad. Maybe it was bad for the first problem. I don't know. Okay, now the second problem, those guys had more time with the feedback than you got. Okay, sorry you got gypped here. But nevertheless, this is probably a good idea to look at this because you did do a couple days of this, right? And so in this problem, you'll investigate the types of feedback. First, draw a Bloch diagram for the simple type of feedback we've been studying and identify the qualities. Yeah, so you should be able to do that, right? So I'll just quickly do that. And so, you know, I was drawing these things really fast yesterday, right? So this is XS, XI, or XE, and XF, and this is XO here. So that's part A, right? So let's look at for part B. Okay, so for each type. Now, we didn't talk about these names, so this would be really hard for you guys, but now you might as well get used to what they're called, okay? And let me just give you an idea of how this works, okay? There are two words in the feedback name. This is the kind of topologies. Remember, we did for a voltage amplifier, there's four different kinds of amplifiers. You know, voltage, which is voltage in, voltage out, right? There's current, which is current in, current out. And then there's transconductance, which is voltage in, current out. And there's transresistance, which is current in, voltage out, right? Okay, so there's four kinds of amplifiers that we studied at the beginning of class. So, I mean, you kind of remember that from the first days. So the way this works is the first word talks about the input and the second word talks about the output, okay? So voltage, this is obviously voltage on the output, right? And they put series there because, remember, in the first part of this thing right here, when we look at this sum, you've got to do sum. It's got to do a sum somehow, right? And so how do you sum? Well, to sum voltages, you would sum things in series, right? Series voltages add, right? Okay, to sum currents, you would put things in parallel, right? And then the currents sum at the junction, right? So this basically says this is for a voltage amplifier, okay? The series voltage is for a voltage amplifier, so actually we know about that. We did that one, right? And it says, okay, so we identify what the parameters, input, output, so voltage and voltage, right, for the first one. Identify what the input impedance is tending toward. Well, what does the input impedance tend toward when we put feedback on a voltage amplifier? It always gets better. Just remember, it always gets better. And what do you want the input impedance to be? Infinity. So it gets closer toward infinity, right? So it goes up, okay? So that's the answer for that one. Now identify what the output impedance is tending toward, and it always gets better. So you want it zero, right? So it's going closer to zero. Is that all right? And then draw a schematic showing how to hook up this kind of feedback to an op amp using at most two resistors in the feedback network. Be sure to include RL and to identify the quantities XF and all those X's and the beta network in your schematic. Determine what the value for beta is for your circuit. So I'm just going to say, for part B, impedances always improve. And I'm going to assume you know what you want when voltage or current, right? Or the output's voltage or current. Okay, and then we'll do...
Would it have been the same thing as saying to go towards infinity?
Well, no, it's... the input impedance goes to infinity, yeah. But the output impedance goes to zero.
Yeah, but...
So...
If I had written...
Well, only for the input.
Yeah.
And they always tend to get better. In other words, so if it had been a current amplifier, you want the input impedance to go to zero and the output impedance to go to infinity. So it's just opposite. So they always get better, right? They always get better with feedback. And so, you've done this. We can do this one before. We've done this. I'll just quickly, write this. You do a voltage divider here, right? This is the beta network, right? And so here's VF right here. Here's VI. And here's, between here and here, is VS, right? And so I'm going to call this R1 and R2. Beta is equal to R1 over R1 plus R2. We've done this a number of times, so I'm kind of going fast here. Is that all right? Okay. So that's for part B. For part C is the next kind. It's series current, okay? So series current means what's on the input?
A
resistor? Now, what kind? Is this a voltage on the input or current on the input? It's series current. Voltage, because series, voltage is add in series, right? Okay, so the output is now current, right? So I've got an amplifier here. The input is voltage. The input is voltage, that means it's got to be something like this, right? It's always like this. This is VI. This is VF right here. This is VS. If it's voltage, it's got to be like that, right? Now the output is current. I should have put the load resistor on here. Here's the load resistor. Since the output is a voltage, here's the output voltage across the load resistor, right? Okay, now if the output is current, the output current has to flow through the load resistor, right? So I better write the load resistor here. Here's RL, and this is I out, right? That makes sense? And I have to take that load resistor and I have to get a feedback voltage from it, right? Or some kind of resistor and get a feedback voltage from it, right? And I have to get a feedback voltage, so I think what I just do here is, I'm just going to go like this. And this, of course, goes over there. Right? That would be the easiest, right? Because I out times RL gives me VF, right? I out times RL equals VF. So beta equals RL. Infinite input impedance and zero output impedance.
Yeah, so that I out goes straight to zero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And you can see it really works that way because the I out is not going to go in here, right? And I guess I need to put in my pluses and minuses here, right? So it looks like plus there, minus there, because it's positive. There's no negative. If there was a negative sign that came in here, I'd have to swap those too. Okay? Which will happen in like the next one. So we'll just remember all impedances always get better, okay? So what is the input impedance going to here? Infinity. And the output impedance is going to what?
Infinity.
Yes. So don't say zero, it's going to infinity, right?
Well, like, it makes sense.
In other words, another thing I could have done, if you didn't like the RL, I could have done this. I mean, you could go like this. There's, in case you want to have a different beta network that's independent of RL, which maybe is, it makes more sense, I don't know, like this. I'm going to just call this R1 and have betas R1, right? And so now you see, as I change RL, it doesn't matter what RL is, that current is still going through that RL, right? Whatever it is, it's going to be the same current is going to go through there, right? So.
So what would be I out is, so what I'm just trying to think is, like, in a real circuit, how would you connect this to get the output? Would you just connect that then?
This is your load, you put your load resistor right here. Like, say, for example, you wanted a transistor bias circuit that had a current output of something, right? So you'd put over here, you know, your voltage reference, maybe, VCC to two diodes in series gives you 1.4 volts here, right? You put that on your input of your op amp, right? You got your op amp. You put your load, whatever it is, your transistor you want to bias right over here, and it's gonna shoot current through that transistor right there, right? Oh, yeah. Or current amplifier or whatever, right? Okay, so I guess we need to look, what's the next one? We need series current, right? Okay, so maybe I should write DC. Yeah, so I need, what's D? Parallel current. So what's parallel current going to be? What's on the input, what's on the output? A current in, current out. Okay, so now I got to do an amplifier, right? So current in, current has to, you have to do this kind of a thing. So this is IS, this is II, and this right here is IF. And you can see that does, II is IS minus IF. That's what we want for our block diagram here, right? You can see II is IS minus IF. Is that okay? It always is like this, just draw that, boom, like that. That's what you always start with, right? And we got current out. So current out means I've got a RL right here. The output current always has to go through I, you know, this is I out here. And that's RL. Okay. So now I want to change, I want an output current to make an IF, right? And so, I mean, if you wanted to, we kind of did this, I don't know, you could do a current divider here if you want to do a fancy thing, or you could just run it right smack in there, right? Then it would be kind of like a current follower, right? I mean, but, if I do this R1, and actually I don't want to run that right to there, I need to run that over to here, right? This is essentially ground here because I'm going to put a ground on here. And this guy and that guy will be the same voltage, so it's essentially, this is like 0 volts there, too, right? So I get a current divider thing here. So R2, so I'm going to say I out times R1 over R1 plus R2 is equal to minus IF, right? Because you see, that's the current that goes this way, which is minus IF.
Okay, then you want to switch the sign?
Yeah, then I need to switch the sign. So I'm going to make this minus and plus, and I'm done. Okay? To make it positive or negative feedback. And so the beta here, beta is then equal to minus R1 over R1 plus R2. And the A is also negative. A is less than zero as well. Because I've got the switch. Is that all right? Okay, and then there's E, I guess. What is the last one? Parallel voltage. So what's on the input? Current again, right? So I just do this, right? IS, II, and IF, right? Okay, and what do I say? Parallel voltage, right? So I've got voltage. So here's the load resistor this time. And so here's V out right here, right? And I've got to take V out and make a current out of it. How could I do that? Maybe I could just take a resistor here, right? So here's a resistor, R1. Actually, I don't want to run it to here. I need to make an IF out of that, right? If I just go like that, it'll be, this is ground right here, so that'll be ground. And so basically it's V out. IF is equals minus V out over R1, right? You agree? Because it's, I'm going to have the current, this voltage minus that voltage, which is zero, over V out over R1 is the current going there, right? This is zero here, because that's zero. So I need a minus or a plus on the top? Minus. Minus and plus because of the minus sign on the beta, right? Excuse me, beta equals minus 1 over R1. So anyway, that was good practice. Well, we're basically out of time. We could quickly just look at the last problem. But you might want to try this problem on your own, okay? And, I couldn't very easily go into the future and determine what kind of transistor you might have to deal with, but it was easy for me to go into the past, right? And so I just went and I found a tube manual, and here's the copy a page out of a tube manual, right? The IV characteristics of a tube. And, if you read this stuff, it'll tell you how a tube works. And then you go be able to go and design your own tube amplifier, and some people think tube amplifiers sound better than transistor ones. I'm not one of them, but, some people think that. But they are kind of cool because they glow and they're, whatnot. So here's your chance. You can go design a tube amplifier.
Harmonic distortion.
What's that?
Harmonic distortion.
Yeah, right. That's probably what makes it good, huh? Anyway. Well, we'll see you at 7:30 on Sunday evening. And hopefully by then you'll have some questions. Do you want me to bring another exam, at 7:30?
Sure.
Okay, so I'll bring another exam at 7:30, and you guys can bring questions from this one, okay?
Great.
And hopefully not, you haven't looked at it. It's more like maybe I looked at it and tried to do it, and I have these questions, rather than, just go do it. Because whenever I do things on the board, I guarantee you it will look 10 times easier you than when you sit down at the exam and see the exact same problem.
Yep.
Man, that looks so easy. How did he do that?